31 years old, from Torrance, California. Authorities are looking into his background. They're looking into his writings. They're looking into his postings, all of his connections, the people he knows, the places he's gone, and anything they can to help them develop a motive. And in this particular situation, considering the fact that this individual showed up heavily armed with several types of weapons, they also want to know about training, background, and also who he might have been involved with that might have helped him with this kind of activity. So there's quite a lot that's going on today, a lot that's going to be going on in the future, especially considering where this took place and the magnitude of, shall we say, prominent people that were in that room, that place last night.
You know, for events like this, JJ, you know, if you've looked into a lot of them as we've seen events unfold in the past, you know, how is security set up when you take something like this and you put it on a public property like this? It's a hotel off. It's not on the federal grounds or anything like that. How do they set these things up and keep that security set?
Having covered many presidential events over my career, I can tell you that this one, it's an event that's outside of that bubble that is the White House grounds. This is a high security area anyway, on a daily basis, Washington, I mean, certainly downtown Washington. And so it's not hard to raise the security profile for a place like the Hilton, because there are many, many events that take place there. And where the president is, there are always several concentric rings of security, at least three. The closer you get, the tighter it gets. But there's always the possibility that someone could show up outside of the outer ring, so to speak, and do something like what we witnessed last night. So there's only so much you can do outside of those rings. And the interesting thing about that is, no matter how tight that security is inside those rings, when someone does something like this outside of those rings and approaches the rings, there's going to be a situation where people simply go, oh my God, how did this happen? And it makes people wonder about whether or not there was security. There was big, great security, but there's also what happens outside of that ring that can certainly raise the concern that's sort of filtering out across Washington and the world today.
You know, it begs a question too. I'm guessing we're going to see the agencies involved, from Secret Service to all the others, reviewing how they reacted here, right, in the days to come.
Well, I imagine so. I mean, there's always going to be a review in a situation like this, where shots are fired and there's a suspect, a suspicion that the president or members of the cabinet and certainly the first family were targets. But also the magnitude of other people that were in this scenario too. There's this question as well that lingers in many people's minds. Was a certain number of people targets, or was it a mass casualty type event? These are all things they're looking into. But these are all things that agencies that are responsible for this kind of security are going to look at. From what I've heard, the Secret Service is being praised as doing an exemplary job in this particular situation. The thing that I think is most important to remember right now is that we're living in a very turbulent time, and people are doing things now in many scenarios, in many cases, in many places, that normally they might not do, might not have done 3, 4, 5 years ago. A lot of people may be feeling pressured to do things, and there's always copycat scenarios. You never know where and how far people are down their cycle of, shall we say, radicalization when something like this happens. But it's always important, and this is what these agencies focus on. It's always important to look at what they've learned from it, to so that they can prevent things perhaps like this from happening in the future.
You know, and as we move forward here, you mentioned a lot of things. Was there anything else you're watching for closely as we learn more about the suspect here?
Yeah. Torrance, California. What was he doing there? Who knew him? How did he get to Washington? Why on this day? And, you know, what did he do along the way? And what were his plans after this? Those are some of the things. And these are all going to come out in the investigation. But I think the most important thing that I'd be looking at right now is, how do people respond to this? Do people move on with their lives, or do they become stuck, worried, frozen, concerned about this event happening? This is the third time, supposedly, someone has tried to attempt the president's life, if that indeed turns out to be what the motivation was. But how do people respond? And that would be something I would be very interested in finding out, because, of course, it's not just the people who are going to pick up and move on, but then there are the people who might decide, oh, I need to follow up on this. He failed, so I might try to be successful. There are always concerns about how people respond to events like this, and that's what I'm watching.